A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, or Elijah, or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We have for some time now spent a lot of time talking about preparation. Over the last few weeks of the year, the liturgical year, where it's all about keeping watch, being ready, staying on vigil for the Lord to come. And then heading into Advent, we talked just perpetually about preparing ourselves, preparing the way, preparing our hearts, right? Making ourselves more disposed to receive the Lord when he comes. And once again today, we talk about preparation. They ask John the Baptist who he is, and he says, "I'm the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" And what I would like us to do is to deepen our understanding of what preparation for the Lord means. I think maybe for the last month or 6 weeks, we put a lot of thought into interior preparation. But I want to, at least for a moment, this is kind of a false start because this isn't really what my homily is about, but at least for a moment, recognize the importance of the role that we play in preparing the way of the Lord, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of those around us and in the world, right? Because in God's providence and his design, he calls us to participate in the work of evangelization. He calls us to be, like John the Baptist, a witness. And the way we are able to be witnesses is if our lives point to God, but also if God's glory is manifest in us. If people can look at us and see. So being a witness does not just mean saying truths and saying hard truths, right? It doesn't just mean telling people the catechism or calling people out on their sins, right? Something about our lives has to bear witness. There needs to be something attractive about us. When somebody looks at us, they ought to say that there's something about the way we live our lives or the way we interact with them or just the way we are that manifests grace and God's glory in their lives and makes them say, "I want that." That is a role that all of us, by our baptism, are called to play in the work of God's salvation of his people. John the Baptist received a really good compliment once. Jesus Christ, the one who's going to judge us all in the end, said, "There's no man born of woman that's greater than John the Baptist." And we don't know that much about John the Baptist. What we know is that his whole life was a sign pointing to the Lord. And we know that there was something really attractive about him, or at least really striking about him, because when the people came to him, they thought that maybe he was the Messiah, or maybe he was Elijah come again. Right? It tells us that it's not just somebody out there saying things like, prepared the way for the Lord. The Lord is coming. The Messiah is coming. But there's actually something in him that made the people think that he might be the Messiah, or he might be Elijah coming again. We see something similar in the other really big figure in the Advent season, which is the Blessed Mother. Blessed Mother is the queen of heaven and earth. She's the crown of God's creation. And we know almost nothing about her except for the fact that everything about her existence points to the Lord and mediates the Lord to us. So if, brothers and sisters, we are called to be witnesses, not just prophets, but witnesses, if we're called to allow the Lord, the world, to see the manifestation of God's glory and grace in us, what do we need? And the answer comes to us from the title of this Sunday. It's the first word you heard when the music started, and it's the reason why I'm wearing pink: rejoice. It's always fascinating to me that we have this command, rejoice, gaudete, it's in the imperative. It's the command to rejoice. And my first instinct is to say, well, I can't really control that, can I? You know, have you ever felt the frustration of being in a bad mood and somebody tells you to cheer up? You're like, if it were that easy, I wouldn't be in a bad mood, right? But the church commands us to rejoice, places an imperative upon us. And so the question that I want to ask, I'm going to ask you to do some spiritual labor here. And spiritual labor is the hardest kind of labor that there is, right? It takes courage, it takes introspection, humility, honesty. I want all of you, and I'm doing this myself, to ask how spontaneously, how authentically am I able to respond to the church's command to rejoice? Maybe a more common way of thinking about this is to ask yourself the question, am I happy? Am I at peace? And to clarify, when we ask these questions, we talk about joy. We talk about authentic happiness, peace. We don't merely mean contentment with all the things in our lives being in order. We don't mean the absence of suffering or the absence of disease, because there are more examples than I can count all around us of people who in every external way seem to have their lives in order and who lack nothing that the world says we need to thrive, but there's this great big dark emptiness in the middle of them. And similarly, we know that the saints have the ability to rejoice, to have authentic joy and happiness and peace in the midst of all manner of suffering and disorder in their lives. So if I ask you that question, and if you sit in silence before the Lord and are really honest and brave about answering the question, am I happy? Do I have the Lord's peace? Or is there some sort of turmoil in me? Is there some sort of conflict in me? Is there some sort of something empty, something that I like to hide away, some pain that I don't want to reflect on, right? If the answer to that is no, I don't have that happiness, I don't have that peace. When the church tells me to rejoice, I don't feel like I can authentically and spontaneously actually just enter into joy, then I want you to spend some time reflecting on why. And I hate to be a stickler, but external things are off limits, right? If you say, I know why I'm not happy, Father, I'm at odds with my wife, or my husband is just irritating the heck out of me, or I'm on financial straits, or I just lost my job, or I'm sick, or a loved one just died. These are all true crosses. But as we've said, somebody who really has the Lord in their hearts and lives out of that closeness to the Lord can have joy, maybe not good feelings, but joy, even in the midst of all of that. Right? If the martyrs can go to their death singing, then we can have joy in the midst of all sorts of suffering. So if the answer for your unhappiness, or if the answer for the tension in your heart, or that feeling that something is missing, if you looked to external things, you're not going to find the answer and you're not going to find the solution. You have to look interiorly, right? Because true joy, true peace, true happiness is in the heart. And it comes when the Lord is in our heart, and when we dwell with him and we live out of the intimacy with him. So I'm speaking especially to those who are not happy, or even those who are in some way unhappy. In this final week of preparation before Christmas, this final week for us to prepare the way of the Lord. I want to invite you to do the spiritual labor of going inside yourself with Jesus and figuring out what it is that's making you unhappy. Maybe there is somebody you need to forgive. And that unforgiveness, right? We sometimes want to hold on to our grudges, but the truth is our grudges hold on to us. And the deeper the hurt is, the more unjustly we've been treated, the more outrageously we've been hurt by somebody, the more righteous our indignation, the more it has a hold on us. Maybe in these last days before Christmas, there's somebody you need to forgive. And maybe in that interiority, you can invite the Lord into the pain of that situation and ask him for the grace to forgive. Ask the Lord to teach you how to forgive. Maybe there's some sort of a fear or anxiety about your life that's preventing you from entering into the Lord's joy. And certainly pray for the Lord to resolve the situation that's making you anxious. But also, and more importantly, in these final days before Christmas, ask the Lord to give you his peace. Ask the Lord to deepen your faith and your trust in him so that whatever it is that you're anxious about, you actually are able to just sort of place that in the hands of the Lord. Perhaps there's a conversion that you need, some sin that you're holding on to and don't want to let go of, some idol, some false god that you need to smash. Maybe it's about time that you return to the sacrament of reconciliation and lay your sins at the Lord's feet and receive his forgiveness. Look within yourselves, examine your conscience, and see what those sins, what those idols, what those need for conversions are. Ask the Lord to give you the humility to look at them honestly. Ask the Lord for the grace to turn to him in the sacrament of reconciliation. Maybe there's just a hurt. I don't remember what mass I preached this at, but we talked about spiritual lies that we believe and then bind us. Right, maybe there's just something, some deep spiritual psychological damage in us that we don't think about very often because it hurts too much. But maybe in these final days before Christmas, we in prayer enter into our hearts with the Lord, go fearlessly in there with him. Take him to that place of hurt, that place that we prefer to cover up and keep hidden, and ask the Lord to be there with us and to heal us. There's all sorts of examples we could continue going on with, but I don't want this homily to last forever. But I do hope that you will take seriously my invitation to look at the question of, do I have joy? Am I happy? Do I have the peace of the Lord? Or is there some part of my heart, some part of my life, that I don't feel like the Lord is there, right? The heart is an amazing thing, and the way the Lord made us is if things are not all right, and if we're not living out of intimacy with our Lord Jesus Christ and with his Father, if we're not living in the Spirit, then something about us just isn't gonna feel quite right. That's the way he made us. So use that to your advantage. And spiritually, in this final week before Christmas, enter into that and ask the Lord to heal or to move or to take away or to build up whatever in you is necessary so that you may truly, fully, spontaneously enter into the church's command to rejoice as we celebrate the coming of our Savior. And if we do that, then we become more joyful and we become better witnesses and we become a better instrument to prepare for the coming of the Lord in the lives of everyone around us.